As we begin this new year, I'm convinced as ever that the Lord will continue to grow the network of simple church-minded folks and even grow new networks all around us. To be sure, it's not about growth for the sake of growth, but about seeing more and more people connected to Jesus and His family. Because I believe that Jesus and His church is the only real hope of this world, I long for as many people as possible to find Him and the Spirit-filled life that He longs for us all to experience. Be encouraged. If you are a part of a simple church, I believe you are in a unique position within the body of Christ. Because you have chosen to live with faith outside the traditional church structure, you can uniquely speak into the lives of your friends and family. You are living proof that Jesus cannot be contained by walls, policies, procedures, and systems. I'm reminded almost daily how many folks' issues are not with Jesus. As I hear heart issues, most problems seem to stem from church and a specific idea or picture of church that is really not the church at all. Rather, the problem is with organizational policies, procedures, programs, and systems that are perceived, with or without good reason, to define what it means to be a part of the church. In fact, I often wonder how many people believe that joining a local brick-and-mortar church congregation / organization and becoming a Christian are one and the same thing. Well, you are uniquely qualified to reach these folks and demonstrate the Christian life in a way they may not thought possible. I feel confident in saying that right now, we all know someone who would be open to following Jesus if they could picture that journey lived out in a simple church family. So let's make the most of the opportunity to help people see Jesus and His family in a new way this year. I want to encourage you to unapologetically and lovingly share your story with the disenchanted around you. Even more, share Jesus' story and invite any and all to join you in your adventure of following Him. As you share your life and faith with others and they see that there are no strings attached to your friendship and love, your light will shine bright, void of the fog that has caused so many to turn away from Jesus and His church. To be sure, this will only happen if we stay connected to the vine, keeping our focus on Him, listening to His voice, and obeying the things He speaks to us. For all of us, may this be our main focus, trusting that the fruit will come as we hear and receive His words in our own lives and in our simple church communities. Mark 4:18-20 states, "Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." I'm Gavin Durson, and this is Keep It Simple Podcast. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Welcome to Keep It Simple Podcast. We're glad that you join us today, and hopefully that you've been doing well, and God's been blessing you and your families out there, and hopefully today you'll be encouraged from the discussion we're about to have.
And Gavin, this is the first recording session of 2017, so I'm really excited. So
yeah, and for those of you that don't know this, we generally try to record a few podcasts at a time. Tom lives in Louisville, I'm in Lexington, so it's not super convenient for us to get together, but we try to do it fairly regularly, and it's always a highlight of my month when we do get together. And that's important for you to know, because if you send us a question and it doesn't come right up the very next podcast, hang in there, because it'll eventually show up. And there's sometimes a bit of a delay. And one way, Tom, that we could increase the frequency of these podcasts, you know, if we would like to have a big time sponsor, I noticed that Coach John Calipari started his podcast right away. He had FedEx as his sponsor. You know, if we had a big-time sponsor, we could just quit everything we do in life and simply do podcasts. So if you're out there, you know, we could record 5 days a week.
We could talk. I mean, we could get paid for talking, for sure.
So, we're glad to be here, and we're glad you're here with us, and we want to jump right into it today. We've got a good discussion that we want to have, and actually, we got a question today that comes from Mr. Ken Rank. Why don't you read his question there, Tom, and we're going to discuss this.
Ken Rank writes us on Facebook. He says, keeping it simple, it might be a good discussion to cover the differences between what it means to convert or become a Christian and what it means to become a disciple or student. The reason most see the Great Commission as a call to evangelize when it is really a call to teach. And since nobody finds out without seeking or hears until they ask questions or drawn by, as in John 6:44, then there is a difference between evangelism and teaching, and it might edify the body to learn to recognize the difference better. I think we kind of have the gist of your question, Ken.
And it's a good question because I think that, you know, he is right. I think that if we just survey, you tell me if I'm wrong, Tom, but when we talk about the Great Commission, and it's something we've talked about a lot on this show in various ways, it's very important to the whole idea of Simple Church, in my opinion. But when we talk about the Great Commission, which let's just, since we're going to talk about the Great Commission, why don't I just read it just for those that may not be as familiar. This is what the Great Commission Jesus gives all followers of his. And this comes in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. It's right before Jesus ascends. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Tom, I think that command, that commission that Jesus gave us has too often been interpreted as go out and convert people to the faith. And you tell me, I think that you would probably agree with me that we see conversion as an important part of this, but it certainly, as Ken points out, that's not the entirety of what the Christian call to go and make disciples of all the nations really is about.
Yeah, I think conversion is it's a little short-sighted, and if you ask, you know, an evangelist, he would say the most important thing is that they give their heart to Jesus so they will spend eternity in heaven. That certainly is important. That's what our ultimate goal is. But the road to get there is a little more difficult and it's not as simple as I preach to you, you affirm what I'm preaching, you repent, you accept Jesus, you're a Christian for life. That it's never that simple. It's you can ask any missionary that's done this on the field. It's never that simple.
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, we have discussed, and it's been a big, I think, help for me and sort of a refocusing, if you will, is when you really read Jesus' words in the Great Commission, he does say to make disciples of all the nations, and then he says to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Yeah.
So, two things there. What is a disciple? How do we make them? How do we teach people how to obey everything that Jesus has commanded? How does that really work? Is it do we walk in and we just say, here's what Jesus said? Is that really what it means to teach people to obey? Jesus said, love your enemies. Therefore, you know, I've done my job. Great. You know, now it's just go obey that. Is that really how we help people to love their enemies, for example? And what is a disciple? I mean, a disciple of Jesus, you know, I would, and this might be, I don't want to be too loose with what I'm saying here, but I think I would say there are people in the process of becoming a disciple of Jesus who are yet to fully receive him into their life. They are even yet to be born again, and that might be a little odd, but I can think of several situations right now with people whom, you know, I'm not so sure that they are converts at this point, but God is clearly drawing them to himself. And yes, as Ken pointed out in the John 6 passage that, you know, no man can come to the Father, and no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me first draws him. Having the eyes to even see that people are being drawn to God, and I'm believing soon these people will be converted. They will be born again into the kingdom. But I see discipleship happening even now prior to conversion. So I view discipleship is what Jesus has called us to do for it all over. Conversion is a point in that process, But it's not necessarily the beginning of the process, and it's not certainly the end of that process. It is a point along that process. Making people a disciple, you know, again, it depends on how you view a disciple, but I think the Great Commission even sort of answers that. It's someone who is certainly a convert, but is learning to obey the things that Jesus is commanding them. They are a person who hears the word and obeys it. As Jesus said, that my sheep hear my voice, that I know them and they follow me. You know, that's the definition that I often use for a disciple, is someone who knows Jesus, hears his voice, and follows him. There are people that may know Jesus but have tuned out to listening to his voice. And there may be people that know Jesus who are listening to his voice, but they're not following his voice. They're not leading. They're not obeying the things that he's saying to them. And that's been a big, big help to me when I think about simple church, when I think about just being a Christian. What am I really here to do? It is to help people know Jesus, learn to listen and obey the things that he is saying and has said in his word.
Yeah. The best illustration I can think of is through experience. And as I've said on the show countless times, and you're thinking, shut up, Tom. When we work with international students, or when we, or if a missionary is on the mission field working with in a cross-cultural setting, it's a big challenge, because when we evangelize in North America or the way it's been, if we evangelize in North America, we kind of assume that the person we're evangelizing has a background where he's familiar with the gospel, familiar with Jesus, just has not accepted it, and all we're trying to do is convince him to accept it. If you go to a cross-cultural setting, you have to back way up. So you can't assume any knowledge. And what we're trying to do is, through both the dissemination of knowledge, you know, whether that's through preaching or teaching or just hanging out, we're disseminating that knowledge. But we're also, this is the important thing, we're also modeling what Jesus taught us. That's the quickest way they learn, is if they actually see a model.
Yeah.
And we can teach obedience to Jesus if they see it modeled in us, and that's a huge illustration. It's a huge sermon, but it also takes time. It also is not easy.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like I repeat this often because it's been such a valuable lesson for me to kind of grasp. But when we even think about making disciples, again, it's part of the whole reason we're here doing Simple Church podcasts. We're doing Simple Church is, for me anyways, it's the main reason. It's one of the top reasons why God has led me down this path, as I started to really ask myself, am I making disciples? I think for me, I was one of those people, like, I was content to make converts, and I still love seeing people coming and that them being, you know, that point of conversion and observing that in someone's life, being a part of that. There's a great joy of that. And a lot of what I did before this was a lot of preaching, calling people to give their life to Christ, and seeing by God's grace, you know, God using that, and that's wonderful. But I really started to wrestle with, am I making disciples? That is what Jesus left me here to do. And I think I was, by his grace, being a part of the discipleship of people, but I wouldn't say that I viewed my purpose on this life as making disciples. And once I started to really be challenged by the Lord in that, it started to ask me to ask the question, well, what would it look like for me to not just make converts and to be focused on that, but if I really reoriented my whole life around this idea of making disciples and allowing the Lord to use me to be a part of that, to not just see people come into the kingdom, but to see them learn to obey the things that Jesus is teaching. And by definition, a disciple is someone who is making another disciple. And so not just helping people learn to grow in their faith, but grow in their faith such that they're helping other people grow in their faith. And when I started thinking in those terms, you know, there's ideas of multiplication, there's ideas of how does that best work. And then the big idea is, how did Jesus do that? I mean, if I'm not just going to I can come up with a lot of great ideas, but Jesus modeled it, as you were talking about. He was the master disciple maker. He modeled it. How did he do that? Was he about conversion? Yes. Did he offer people, that strangers at times, the opportunity to come into the kingdom? And yes. But his whole ministry was oriented around walking with, talking with, living with, focusing on a few people and spending an incredible amount of time with them in relationship. And so there is something about that. There is something about this disciple-making thing that involves commitment, time, and a few people. I mean, it's just not possible to help people learn to walk with Jesus, hear his voice, and obey his voice in a meaningful way from a long distance away, or to help 1,000 people do that. And you see the master himself, Jesus, as he modeled for us this life, he focused on a few people and he spent a lot of time with them, and he helped put them in places to where they learned to obey his voice and trust his voice and trust his instruction. In Luke 10, which we've talked about, he sent them out in pairs and he stayed back. He let them go and experience life in ministry without him there holding his hand, their hand. And they came back and talked about it and reported what God had done, even with him not being there. So lots of important lessons. I think we've talked about some of these in previous podcasts too. If you want more in depth on some of that, check that out. But very, very important question. Very, very important topic. And it really is the foundation for me of why I'm even doing Simple Church.
Yeah. I think the key to the difference between evangelism, just evangelism, and true discipleship is time. Time and effort. It's easy to preach. It's easy to go take a short-term mission trip and go and gather a bunch of people and preach to them, you know, in their language or your language or whatever, and call for, you know, a response, and then everybody raises their hands and you think you've done evangelism. That sounds easy. The hard part is doing the true discipleship, doing the teaching, the modeling. It has to involve time, and it has to involve contact, and it has to involve messiness, you know, getting your hands dirty, getting involved in a intimate, direct way with a person. And look what Jesus did. He spent 3 years with 12 people, and, you know, that 3 years doesn't sound like a lot of time, but, you know, it was. Paul, the most time he ever spent at any one place was about 3 years. So, you know, but then, you know, teach people to teach people to teach people and then move on.
Yeah, I think, you know, I remember one day I had this thought, and I may have read it somewhere, and no thought of mine is ever original, but I really think that a practical way that we can really make sure that our lives are not oriented towards converts. For some of us, that, man, maybe just orienting our lives towards helping people be converted would be a great step in the right place. Because I don't think there's actually a ton of people really orienting their life and faith around that idea. But here's something that helped me. And I think that if you are one of these folks trying to wrap your mind around this idea, what helped me was thinking this way. What if, instead of thinking about how I can help my neighbor become a Christian and come into the kingdom, what if I thought about this? How can I help my neighbor help her neighbor come into the kingdom and become a Christian? And I think if you think that way, if you can just make that slight adjustment in the way that you're thinking, maybe you have a friend right now who's not a Christian, and you know, what if you, instead of just thought about how can you get them to pray a sinner's prayer and become a Christian and be baptized, what if you thought about how can I help this person become a Christian such that they are then able to help their friends and their family members become Christians? If you think that way, and if you really do, I think, deal with the Lord on that matter, that in of itself, that slight adjustment will be the end result of you making a disciple of that friend of yours, because you will be doing everything within the mind. It's not just an end in itself that they pray some prayer or be baptized, but that you're going to help them get to the place where then they're able to do the very thing you're trying to help them do with their friends and family. And that will involve you having to be close with them, modeling some things with them, entertaining their questions, maybe get, you know, letting them go and try to share their faith with friends, but then come back to you and talk about it like we see Jesus do it, and like we said in Luke 10. And that, I don't know if that's helpful to anyone or not, but that slight, just that extra step of thinking of it, how can I help this person not just become a Christian, but become a Christian such that they can help all their friends become a Christian? If I really give that time, if you really give that attention, then I think the result is something like making disciples with that first person, and hopefully teaching them how they can then make disciples with that next person, because they're going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be saying, huh, now that I'm a Christian, my job is not just to lead my friends to Christ, but it's to help them come to Christ such that they can help their friends come to Christ. Right. And there's this chain of a more commitment to the friendship, to walking with that person. Yeah. And just, I think that's a practical thing that maybe would help you. It helped me in thinking through a lot of this. And again, it's why I'm doing Simple Church. It's the whole reason, you know, because, Simple Church is an environment where these sorts of things, I think, really fit well and happen well with the relational aspect of disciple making.
Yeah, it's beyond passing on of knowledge. If you have the right knowledge, you're a Christian. That's not true. A Christian, a disciple, is one who follows Jesus and obeys what he commands. And that's our job, yep, to make that, not just pass on knowledge.
Well, Tom, I think it was a great. Thanks, Ken, for the question. And hey, you got a question? That was great. We love to hear from folks. What's kind of stewing in your heart? Maybe you're out there. You're trying to consider Simple Church. Don't worry if it's a topic we've covered in the past, and don't be afraid that you're going to ask a question that we've already talked about. That's okay. Ask it anyways.
Yep.
We've got thousands and thousands of people every week that are joining and subscribing this podcast, so maybe there's new people to the party all the time.
Maybe dozens. Maybe maybe ones of tens.
Which, by the way, if you enjoy this podcast, or even if you don't, maybe you just feel sorry for us. If you could go on iTunes, like the podcast, give us a review and write it. That does help, so that when people search for faith podcasts, religious podcasts, these sorts of things, ours will pop up. But yep. Thanks, Ken, for the question.
Stuff I like. Well, I have recently become a grandfather, and that is awesome. And I became a grandfather just before Christmas, and we visited my son and my daughter in law and got to spend some quality time with them and the new baby Judah, and just holding a newborn baby in your arms just makes you, and especially around Christmas time, makes you think of, you know, the incarnation. It makes me think of Jesus being born and wrapped in swaddling clothes, and I'm sitting there holding a baby boy in his swaddling clothes and thinking, you know, the God of the universe, the creator, did this. He became like this little baby, this helpless baby that can't do anything for himself. He just sleeps and cries and eats and coos and, you know, things like that, but cannot do anything. You know, the almighty God in this baby form, it just blew my mind, you know. You know, just the joy of having the grandson, and the joy of having a grandson at Christmas time, is just inconceivable. And I hope, you know, if you have little babies or if you have little grandchildren, just think about that Jesus came and became this helpless baby. He humbled himself. You know, one instant he's in heaven, you know, enjoying the glory of God. Next instant he is this baby and grew up and died, you know, for us, for me, for you. Wow. And now, you know, he rose again, and he's where he was. So happy ending. That's awesome. Stuff I like.
All right, stuff I like. I talk about music a lot, and music is something that I love. And today I want to share a song with you guys. We're going to close out the show with a song called Too Good by a singer-songwriter named Jess Ray. And I've mentioned to you before the website noisetrade.com. You can download some of her music for free there. And I just found out about this girl last week. A girl at our Simple Church brought this song to share. We always bring a song or encourage people to do so. Sometimes that means a song we sing. Sometimes that's a song we play. And this past week, a girl in our Simple Church popped this
recording of a video of this song up on YouTube, and we watched it, and I've been singing it, thinking about it ever since. It's just great lyrics. Jess Ray, Too Good. Check her out on Noise Trade, and also on iTunes is where you can download this song. It's on her last studio album. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Keep It Simple.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.